Hey, everybody, it's Chuck Arfine, and welcome to the White Sox Talk Podcast. It's coming to you, as always, by our friends at Wintrust. The GM meetings are in San Diego this week, and the two biggest stories with the White Sox have to do with two guys, Carlos Rodon and Craig Kimbrel. Now, super agent Scott Boras met with the media there. Our Matty Lee asked him about Rodon, who's one of his clients. We know where the White Sox stand with Rodon, not making him a qualifying offer and saying they'd like to bring him back at a different price. Now we know where Boras and Rodon stand. We'll get to that. Also, with Craig Kimbrel struggling as a setup man with the White Sox, and with him owing him $16 million next season, and with the team needing to fill other spots on the roster, and after hearing what Rick Hahn said about Kimbrel at the GM meetings, we're going to explain why it's probably likely that Kimbrel is wearing another uniform next season. So Vinny Duber and Matty Lee are both in San Diego. We're going to cover this and more on the White Sox Talk Podcast. It's coming your way.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at wintrust.com/soxtalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go! Go! White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to the field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, the GM meetings are in San Diego, and we've got Vinny Duber and Matty Lee there. And let's get right down to it. We'll begin with Scott Boras. So Scott Boras speaks on Wednesday, covers a whole lot of ground. But for our purposes, let's begin with what he said about Carlos Rodon, one of his clients. He said, obviously, we're pursuing a multi-year contract, and we're not going to sign a one-year contract like the qualifying offer that was offered by the White Sox. So, Matty, you were in that scrum with reporters hearing what he had to say. What did you take from what Scott Boras said about Rodon?
Yeah, I think, well, now we know at least both sides are saying that qualifying offer wasn't going to work for them. And both have left open the possibility of Rodon coming back. They've been very clear on the fact that conversations have continued between the White Sox and Rodon's representation. But it sounds like if they do want to bring him back, they're going to have to spring for more than just a one-year deal.
So Vinny, how does that happen? How would that even work with this rotation the way it is constructed? With Rodon signing potentially a multi-year deal, clearly that's what Boras says they want. I'm not sure if he's going to get it, but say sure, he can get a multi-year deal, would that even work with the White Sox?
It'd be tough. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last few weeks, obviously, right? I mean, they're going to have to, whether they want to add somebody on a one-year deal or a multi-year deal, they're going to have to make room in that rotation because there's currently five guys that are set to be starting staff next year. You're talking Giolito, Lynn, Cease, Keuchel, and Kopech. So the two kind of easiest ways, or I don't know if easy is the right word, but the two options that spring to mind are figuring out a way to move on from Dallas Keuchel, which obviously a lot of fans would, you know, prefer after he had a less than ideal campaign in 2021, or maybe delaying Michael Kopech's arrival in the rotation if that's the kind of move that you want to make in order to give yourself a better chance to win the World Series in 2022. I don't think any of that is easy or really lines up with what the White Sox are trying to do in the short and long term. That being said, what they're trying to do in the short term is win the World Series. And so if you can bring in a starting pitcher who helps you do that, obviously you'll do it. Carlos Rodon, we've talked about it, Chuck. I mean, there's questions, and Scott Boras got some of those questions today about the health, about the what was going on there at the end of the year with the shoulder soreness. Is that going to affect Carlos Rodon's market? You'd have to imagine it might, but we'll see. So, you know, in terms of the White Sox, I think a reunion would be a wise idea. I mean, in terms of it makes your starting rotation better than it is today after the kind of year that he had in 2021. But yeah, like you said, it's going to take some real crowbarring to get him in there or get anybody in there, really.
You know, Dylan Cease was on the podcast. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, everybody listen to it. It dropped on Tuesday and or dropped on Wednesday, excuse me. And you know, he reminded me of how great, I not that I have forgotten what Carlos Rodon did, but he said, this is Cease talking about Rodon. He said he would have won the Cy Young if he hadn't gotten, if not hurt, fatigued, or however you want to call it. And he said it was one of the best seasons by a pitcher that he has seen. That's how good Rodon started the season. Obviously, finishing it was different. But the White Sox already made a move, and it's kind of been forgotten, and it's a big one. And if they hadn't have made it, we would be talking about Lance Lynn being a free agent right now, and we'd be stressed to the max wondering if they'd be able to get him back. I mean, that's another reason why there's no room for Rodon, because they made a big, big signing during the season by extending Lance Lynn. Vinny, how much does this really weigh into what's going on here?
Well, I mean, it filled up the rotation, right? It seemed at the time that they made the decision, right? That it was you had to decide between Carlos Rodon or Lance Lynn, and they made the decision to just keep Lance Lynn around. And listen, as good as Carlos Rodon was, Lance Lynn just finished in the top three of the Cy Young voting. So, I mean, he had himself a phenomenal year too, and certainly the White Sox should be thrilled that he's in the plans for the near future. But yeah, it obviously they didn't know how Carlos Rodon was going to pan out. Even after he had a very good few months to start the season, there was still so much uncertainty. I think I said it the other night when we were talking on the podcast, Chuck, you know, it was very much a prove it deal for Carlos Rodon when he got the 1 year deal to come back to the White Sox. And it almost seems like now the market might treat it like, okay, go ahead and prove it again. You know what I mean? And maybe he only gets 1 year again, you know? And so you can understand why Scott Boras gets up and says, we're looking for a multi-year deal, because the way Carlos Rodon pitched, he earned it. But there are those questions that might affect, you know, the kind of contract offers that he gets. The White Sox are in a good spot, I think, from a starting rotation standpoint. And I think Rick Hahn said as much yesterday, but as much as Rick Hahn, just like Rick Hahn said on Tuesday, you know, they're always looking to get better. You can never have enough pitching. And the improvements that they're looking to make are not going to be hindered by the fact that they seemingly have a full boat already in the rotation.
Well, Maddie, this is for you. And then Vinny, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. What if Carlos Rodon finished the season healthy? Okay. So if he's healthy, yeah, the White Sox want to bring him back. Well, then who is the odd man out in this rotation? Does Michael Kopech stay in the bullpen? Are they aggressively trying to trade Dallas Keuchel if that's possible? I mean, that's what I look at is like, well, you want to keep him, but they might have been losing him anyway. What do you think, Maddie?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think if he was healthy, I mean, he already is such an asset after going through this, you know, wild season of ramping up to huge innings jump from the year before. And you're looking at that, like, who is like at that point, is he in our pay range, right? Although I do think if they were able to hold on to him, then maybe having Kopech take more of a transitional role. I know he was transitioning this past season, but then you get a little more flexibility with how much you're going to use him and how you're going to ramp him up to starters innings. But you do have, take this with a grain of salt, because it is, of course, Scott Boras's job to hype up his players and say that, you know, they're the best thing on the market. But he talked about a sense of having teams really understand what all of these pitchers are going through, you know, going from a 60 game season to a full season. But, you know, Rodon's an even bigger example of that because of the injuries that he had before that. Scott Boras also said that there was nothing physically wrong with Rodon, and I pushed back asking him about, you know, the velocity drop and all of that, because he admitted, yes, of course he's dealing with fatigue and we all saw that. But asked about the velocity, he brought up the fact that he hit, you know, 98 in the playoffs. Like, yeah, but what about before that? He, Boris, is sticking with the notion that teams understand exactly what Rodon was going through, and he expects that not to really affect his market as much as we might expect. Like I said, take it with a grain of salt, or several grains of salt, maybe a whole shaker. But that was his message, so to speak, today.
Before we wrap up the Rodon talk, I just want to get Vinny's thought on this, which is, so if it's true and he wasn't posturing, and Boris saying that they weren't going to accept a one-year offer, knowing that, it would have been better if the White Sox made that one-year qualifying offer, because then they got a draft pick. But then again, they can't read Boris's mind. What do you think about how this did not pay off for the White Sox in terms of they could have had a draft pick, but should we be really going crazy over that, the fact that they don't get that now?
Well, I think you got to think of the other end of that, right? And it's, what if they gave him the offer and then he says yes? You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for Scott Boras to say that after the fact. You know, it's easy for, or we should say that it's easy for him to put that out there after the fact, right? And so obviously having Carlos Rodon has long seemed like it would be a no-brainer. And that's why we thought the other day when we talked about this, that it would be a no-brainer that they would make the qualifying offer, because obviously you'd rather have him on your team than not. But as Rick Hahn said on Tuesday, the reason they didn't make the qualifying offers because they weren't comfortable making a contract offer for 1 year and $18.4 million at the time. And that might have a lot less to do with Carlos Rodon than it, and a lot more to do with what the White Sox are trying to accomplish this winter in general. I mean, how he, Rick Hahn alluded to the fact that, you know, what's the best way to use their assets, to use their financial flexibility, to use his term, is it to give it all to one guy? Is it to spread it out over a bunch of different guys? And maybe $18.4 million for Carlos Rodon would have derailed some of the other plans they have to add other pieces this offseason. So you got to think about it in total, as well as just kind of zeroing in on some of the questions that are still surrounding Rodon. Because yes, it seems like you would rather have him than not have him. But at the same time, what kind of cost does having him come with when it comes to all the other areas that the White Sox hope to address on their roster?
And that's a good point. And if you haven't written about this already, I think you should, because you can't look at just the first move. The first move is always like, well, what is going on? You're just looking at this one move without knowing what's coming next or potentially coming next. Because you don't know, the White Sox might be saying, hey, we have a big, big target. Like, I'm hoping the reason why they aren't giving $18 million right now to Rodon is, well, maybe they want to like sign a big time right fielder. Who knows? They may not get that right fielder, but that might be the reason why they're holding off right now. So you can't look at just this one decision and conclude, well, why aren't they doing this? Well, if this was the only move they had to make in this offseason, well, then they're probably going to be bringing back Rodon at $18 million or something like that. So Scott Boras is at the center of this offseason, as he always is, but especially now with the White Sox, because I saw that, I don't know if Maddie, if you heard this, but Bruce Levine reported that Boris has meetings set with the White Sox about his free agent stars. I mean, there's Rodon, there's Michael Conforto, Marcus Semien, Nicholas Castellanos, heck, Chris Bryant. That's a possibility. I mean, if you look at what the White Sox need and what he can do, of those guys, Rodon, Conforto, Semien, Castellanos, Chris Bryant, most realistic to sign with the White Sox? Vinny, you go first.
It's a good question. I really don't know how to answer that, I'll be honest with you, you know, because we're so early in the going here. And as we just talked about, the, you know, the financial flexibility can be a puzzle that is hard to figure out until some of those pieces come into place, quite obviously. So I'll put it this way. their biggest need is second base. I've been saying it for a few weeks at this point. If they're going to go out and get a second baseman, if they're going to plug that hole, there's no better way to do it. There's no bigger way to do it than with Marcus Semien. But that doesn't necessarily mean that is a realistic outcome. So we're going to have to wait and see, to be quite honest with you. I know that's an answer that nobody wants to hear, but that really is how it's going to work. And, you know, as free agency has shown us in the last few years, that wait might be not a brief one.
Yeah, I was going to also go for fit-wise. I like a Semien fit, but potentially not, because maybe he wants to play shortstop. And then at that point, you have questions over like, okay, then are you going to give him that and move Tim? Like, that doesn't seem like you want to, you know, disrupt him. And we know that he wants to play shortstop. So I don't know exactly where his thoughts are on that or how that would shake out. But I also think Scott Boras is meeting with every team about his big free agents as well. And little free agents. So he said he's been up till 3 a.m. every night this week. Busy time.
I did hear him on MLB Network Radio and talk about Boras. He did refer to Marcus Semien as a middle infielder, which gave me a slice of hope.
Chuck, come on.
Slice of hope that he plays second base.
He is a middle infielder, Chuck. Didn't know if you knew that or not.
I know, but he didn't say shortstop. If he would have said shortstop. He said middle infielder. I am, you know, who knows? But when I hear Scott Boras refer to Marcus Semien as a middle infielder, I'm like, okay, maybe he'll play second base. That's all I'm going with there. All right. So the other big news I want to talk with you guys about was Rick Hahn talking about Craig Kimbrel. I appreciate that Rick Hahn said this because he's usually very close to the vest about stuff. But the quote is, what we have to figure out is whether it makes the most sense to have Craig in a White Sox uniform going forward, or is there a better use of that spot and him perhaps via trade? That sounds like he's getting traded. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're going to mention the second half, seems pretty likely.
Well, I mean, Chuck, you brought it up. I mean, you brought it up. Like, this is Rick Hahn we're talking about.
I know.
This is not something that he says lightly. And so to come out and openly talk about a guy as a trade candidate, that is, it was a little shocking. And it, at the very least, it told you what the White Sox are thinking, because, you know, Craig Kimbrel, the trade obviously didn't work out. And so it looks like there's going to be another trade coming down the pipe here. Now, obviously, Rick Hahn talked a lot about how Craig Kimbrel would fit if he didn't end up getting traded. And, you know, you never know if you're going to find the right partner. But to talk openly about dealing a guy is uncharacteristic for Rick Hahn, and pointed to a definite strategy that his front office is taking here in the coming months.
Well, I think a trade would be best for both parties too, right? Like, I mean, Craig Kimbrel's a guy who was on a Hall of Fame track, and he's a career closer, and the White Sox don't need a closer. They've got a closer. And, you know, we saw how that played out this season. They had high hopes. There's obviously so much talent between him and Hendricks, and it just didn't pan out how the White Sox had envisioned it. So I think it's best for Craig Kimbrel too, to go to a place where he can really seize that role back. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, he has a very strong Hall of Fame candidacy now, but maybe not strong enough if he doesn't get more closing opportunities.
I think they're going to find a match for him. I'm looking at the free agent closers, certainly at the top of the class. It's Kenley Jansen, Raisel Iglesias, Kendall Graveman, Mark Melancon. So, Mark Melancon, San Diego seems like a good spot for him. For Kimbrel, I don't know if they're going to bring back Melancon. And then I had no idea what was going on with the Phillies. And they basically didn't have a closer this year, but Hector Neris had about 10 or 12 of them. The Phillies have long had interest in Kimbrel. So Phillies, Padres, I'm watching that, because if you don't get Iglesias or Graveman or Jansen, I think that's where he could end up. What do you think there, Vinny?
Yeah, it's worth looking at as we get some nice avian noises here in California.
Is that a bird?
It's it is a bird. I think it's a crow or a raven, which is not terribly exciting, but it is a bird. You know, it's warm enough for birds to be out, unlike it's going to be in Chicago in a little bit. So, but yeah, I think if you're the White Sox, you got to be looking everywhere, right? I mean, there's no teams that you got to close out from this, because I think, you know, listen, Rick Howden was asked yesterday if he was trying to, you know, salvage the trade or something like that. And he said, no, he's trying to make the team better, and that's fine. That's believable. But there is you have to get something, right? I mean, you don't pick up that option and then be like, all right, throw your hands up. Here's hoping somebody will just take him off our hands. I think you got to get something. And now maybe that something is $16 million, right? And maybe that helps you go out and achieve some of your other goals for the rest of the offseason. So, but getting something is paramount. And you figure that it would happen regardless of who that team is. You know, you're not going to close the door on anything.
Okay. Vinny, you spoke with Yolbert Sanchez. Was he in San Diego? I know he wasn't in San Diego. Did you call up Glendale and speak to Yolbert Sanchez?
We had a couple of us White Sox reporters were fortunate enough to talk to Yolbert Sanchez on a Zoom call this afternoon. So that was pleasant. A very nice young man.
Can you explain who Yolbert Sanchez is? Because I know we have a lot of diehard White Sox fans who know him, but others are like, well, you mean Yolmer Sanchez? No, this is a Yolbert Sanchez. So who's Yolbert Sanchez for everybody who doesn't know?
So Yolbert Sanchez is a White Sox prospect, one of the many Cuban signees that this organization has made in the recent years, currently ranked by MLB.com as their 15th best prospect. So not exactly, you know, Luis Robert or Eloy Jimenez status at the moment, but a guy who had a very nice 2021 season in the minor leagues. He played between Winston-Salem and Birmingham, had a very nice, successful stretch playing at Double-A there, and he's kind of tearing it up in the Arizona Fall League right now. So, I mean, you know, we've moved on from the days where prospect stats are the prime focus of White Sox coverage, of course, but I found it very interesting on Tuesday, Rick Hahn talking about Michael Kopech, kind of brought up the fact that they're going to be doing some stuff that make sure that they are competitive for a long time. I mean, you've heard him talk this whole time as they begin the yard work here in California. You've heard Rick Hahn talk for a long time about how he's trying to make this a sustained thing, right? You're not rebuilding just to be good for one or two years and then go back to where they were. This is a sustained thing. And I think when he was talking about Michael Kopech, he was saying, you know, we're going to use the 2022 season to get him acclimated, to make him a big league starter. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be throwing 200 innings like the other guys in that rotation. It means that he's going to have to be ready for October, be ready for a full workload come 2023. But that might mean some creative work in 2022. And that might be surprising to hear from a team that's trying to win the World Series. Can you do that and win the World Series in the same year? And I think you take a look at that and those comments, and you can apply them to some of the guys in the minor leagues and say, this is not over just when this current crop of guys, you know, starts going downhill or moves on or whatever, just ages, period. This is going to, the planning on the South side has a lot to do with years to come, just like it has with months to come.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they fill out this rotation, because they need 5.5 starters, right? I mean, you need more than 5.5, but with the way they're talking about Kopech, there's a Ronaldo Lopez. He's a possibility, but I want more, right? Am I being greedy, Maddie Lee? Am I being greedy that I want more than this?
No, I think you should demand more, especially, you know, after we saw how much injuries can impact a rotation. And the White Sox did a really good job of kind of filling those holes as they started having guys go on the IL late in the season to really, you know, get them ready for the postseason. But it kind of all came crashing down in the postseason. So I think depth is absolutely something that the White Sox should be looking for as they move forward. You know, maybe it's not the number one priority, but certainly on the list.
I hate to say it, but if they don't trade Dallas Keuchel, and they may not, I mean, there's a very good chance that they don't. How much of this is rotation riding on Dallas Keuchel then having a comeback season? Because if he doesn't, then it's like, well, what just happened there? They have to probably trade at the deadline for a replacement. I hate to put this out there for Keuchel, and I'm starting to be in the camp of thinking he is going to have a comeback season. but this is going to be a story we're going to be talking about until opening day, right, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely. And I got to be honest, I'll bring him up again. I think Michael Kopech factors into that conversation as well, because listen, Dallas Keuchel's been here before. Seeing a bounce back season from Dallas Keuchel would not be all that surprising, even if, you know, for White Sox fans who are thinking very much about what he was in 2021, Dallas Keuchel's got a career worth of track record to draw from, to think that that is very much a possibility that he would bounce back. Michael Kopech threw 70 something innings last year. Is that right? It's probably wasn't.
Yeah.
Michael Kopech has never been a big league starter before. And listen, the guy's got all the reason in the world and all the talent in the world to make you think that he can pull it off and be a part of this rotation for years to come. But he's going to be doing it for the first time, and you're going to be, and the White Sox will be trying to win the World Series. So when you say, are you getting greedy when you want more rotation pieces? No, you're not being greedy when you want them. What you need to remember is what kind you want. Just because of Michael Kopech's relative inexperience, just because of Dallas Keuchel's 2021 struggles, doesn't mean that they're going to go out and sign Max Scherzer. You know what I mean? Like, their rotation depth is not necessarily the top of the market starting pitchers. And I think you got to remember that when you think about the year, the months to come, because you could definitely call rotation depth a need. It doesn't mean that they're going to be going out and signing the Cy Young contender unless they are able to make room in that rotation. That's when you got to be looking out for something like that. But the rotation is a simultaneously seems like their biggest strength and their biggest question mark, doesn't it? I mean, because it was so, so good during the regular season last year. Three of those guys were so, so good are back in Giolito, Lynn, and Cease. Kopech's exciting. Keuchel could bounce back, you know, and so you want to feel really good about the White Sox rotation while also realizing the questions that I just asked, none the least, though, are how they performed in the playoffs.
All right. Well, no moves are made, at least as we're speaking here. Maybe that's coming later. Who knows? But we will. Moves are coming. Sorry, I got distracted. My phone was ringing. My apologies. Does that ever happen to you guys?
It's a move. Rings? It's a move. Yeah. Chuck, check your phone. It might be a move.
Yeah.
It's not a move.
Breaking here.
The
right
person
now.
Who called me knows nothing about baseball, nothing about sports. He would not know anything about the White Sox. He might not even know who the White Sox are. No, he knows who the White Sox are. But so, no, that was not the phone call we're looking for. So, anyway, Maddie Lee. Vinny Duber, great work as always in seeing your sunny faces in San Diego. Come to the cold of Chicago, or maybe not. Take your time. Maybe walk home. You get here in a few weeks. How long would it take to walk from San Diego to Chicago?
We can go through
more,
Arizona, much, though.
More time than we've got.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your time in San Diego. We'll see you back here in Chicago, and we'll also see what the White Sox end up doing in the days, weeks, and months ahead. That is a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox. Check in with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.
Did you know that 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the U.S. is imported from overseas? That's why I get my meat from GoodRanchers.com. When you buy Good Ranchers, not only are you getting amazing meat, but you're also supporting American farms. GoodRanchers.com safely delivers American craft beef, better than organic chicken, and more. Delivered quickly and safely to your door. Don't play the grocery store guessing game. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Go to GoodRanchers.com and use the code Chicago for $20 off and free express shipping.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.